Through faith and by faith, Hebrews 11, looking at the achievements of faith from the perspective of persuasion and credence, introduction, part B, part of the So Great Salvation series, by Randy Pritz. Today's text, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By the word of God, verse 3. Chapter 11 of Hebrews has been called by some Bible scholars the Hall of Faith, placing the emphasis on the individual elders listed here as having a good report, and what they were able to achieve because of their faith. I would like to change that emphasis in our considerations throughout this series from what these men and women were able to do to what the framing word of God was able to do through them that pointed them and their successive generations to the eventual Messiah, the same Messiah we now look upon as Christ Jesus, who has achieved the ultimate work of faith in mankind's redemption. Such an emphasis would be, well, it would make a whole lot more sense in the surrounding context of this author's effort to guide his troubled and tested Hebrew converts. I've already begun to explain to you in the previous introduction that the unconverted Hebrews of that day knew all about these exemplary reports of their elders of their faith. Each one of these had been taught to them from the viewpoint of the conditional national covenant and the existing oral traditions of their former faith. The author, though, is attempting to reprogram their understanding from an entirely different Christ-centered perspective. It is the same stories from a fresh and enlightening point of view. So now, we think upon these good reports from the novel vantage point of a growing, developing, fulfilling body of substance and evidence called the framing word of God. First thing to consider about this word is indicated by the Greek word used here. The author translated, took this word that we translate frame. The worlds were framed, right? That's kartizo in the Greek, which means to repair, to adjust, to fit, to frame, to mend or make perfect, prepare or restore. So it's not just something verbally that is uttered, not just something listened to us by us and evermore written. It is something vocalized by God for the purposes of repairing, for the purposes of adjusting, putting back into the order originally intended. The second word needing clarified is our translation of this Greek word. We've got it as worlds, but in the Greek it's aeon, better meaning ages, or worlds by their ages, meaning measures or collections of time. For instance, we could say that there is an age between Adam and Noah that God dealt with man called the antediluvian age, the age before the deluge, before the flood. There's an age between Noah then and Abraham, and Abraham through Moses, and Moses through David's. So there's several ways of seeing this progressive storyline and dividing it up to think of these things through, to analyze these things that we would call ages. God's word to Adam, therefore, would not only frame or move towards repairing Adam's understanding of things, but also the generations leading to Noah. We can look back on what is said to Noah then, and it still is framing and repairing even under our generation, our age. Add to that what he said to Noah, what he said to Abraham, and on and on. You see, the framing word is collecting something together. It doesn't just end with Adam or with Noah or whatever. It's something that is collecting through these ages, gathering towards a climax or towards its apex in Christ Jesus, who is meant for our ultimate repair. Next, there's the reaction or the response of man to the framing word of God. This is essential to understand that when God speaks, fallen man reacts to what is spoken, mostly in opposition or defiance with what is spoken. And this is done with very little exception. That is because man does not consider himself in need of, quote, repair or adjustment. At least not God's repair or adjustment. Call this their faith, this Greek word pistis. Man is persuaded and pays credence and is morally guided by his own formulations and desires and self-interests. We see this even in the elders here that are listed in the chapter that we admire for their achievements, the achievements of their faith. But God has had to move even on them, little by little, towards his way of seeing things best as he could. So then the age of mankind and God's long and patient dealings with him can be divided into ages. God's word is at the center of these ages and is framing these ages towards repair. Man is responding mostly negative, with very few exceptions. Individuals who have been moved into at least a temporary compliance to this framing word. And if this is not viewed by us correctly, even these few positive reactions that we can see here in these exemplary examples, these can be misinterpreted, made into something they're not, built into far-reaching oral traditions and religions that are only but a thin veneer of the actual faith, the actual repair being caused by that framing word. The Bible records these reactions, some good, most missing the mark. One of the most difficult things to understand about the Bible, especially when considering its claim of infallibility, is the recognition that God's perfect framing word is recorded side by side with our frequent imperfect responses and our imperfect misinterpretations. The two are often juxtaposed for the purpose of contrast. An illustration. It might be said that the Holy Spirit who has recorded these texts has included the fallible response and understanding of men and women and mankind to best serve his infallible and restorative purposes. Not made of things which do appear, verse 3. Well, I suppose there's no harm in thinking of verse 3 in terms of God's creative speaking to the elements of creation, that let there be light kind of word. I really don't think this is all that our author intends for it to mean. We are still to hold it in the context of God's repairing and restorative word, since then working upon the fallen, poorly self-blinded reacting ages. And in this case, his reference to the unseen or things which do not appear is focused upon the promises of God on which we hope, of which remain for God still to fulfill. In other words, it is the fulfillment of these promises that is the object of this phrase, things that remain unseen. This, however, in no way means that these fulfillments yet unseen are not effective in drawing us the direction God's restorative or framing word needs us to accomplish to proceed. In the majority of these elders' reports, the report is of them being driven by a faith in God's eventual fulfillment, generations distant. Driven to go places and do things they never would have thought themselves to achieve. Along the way, there were evidences, minor fulfillments, successive fulfillments, growing evidences of God's intention to fulfill for them and observe, that they could observe and receive and build their faith on even more. To get to the overarching promise of their being a kingly high priest, Messiah, over all redeemed mankind. There had to be a series of smaller other promises along the way, and many, many of these smaller promises were fulfilled at their appropriate time. With each promise, the saints of that age were stretched more and more in their faith, able for God to accomplish more and more through them. And then there were often those times, those periods of setback, for which God was tolerant, as fitting the overall scheme of his overarching promise. So indeed, in several positive aspects, the author can truthfully claim, quote, so that things which were seen, which are seen, were not made or were not caused of things which do appear, end quote. Through faith, we understand, verse 3. Perhaps now we can better put these first three verses together into one consistent understanding. A more consistent understanding is going to be required in order for us to examine these exemplary elders in the proper light of God's repairing, constantly age-defining word. Let us not read through these reports of faith and come to the same old school interpretive mistakes. Let's begin with the word we, verse 3. The understanding of who we is of tremendous importance. We, first and foremost, is centered upon the new Hebrew converts to which the author is addressing. Persons like these elders called out by God to do something different, something atypical, something beyond what the others surrounding them, all the others, the great congregations of others surrounding them, what they've settled themselves into. The, quote, we is not all-inclusive, as the others are in direct confrontation with the Word of God that is doing this age's framing. The others have both the numbers and the cultural traditions, but they don't have the heart, and they don't have the persuasion to follow the framing word onward, 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 as it's collecting, as it's growing, as it's gathering, as it's building, to Christ, its ultimate conclusion. They've stopped short of that. And because of this, the we, these converts, are confused. They're scared. They're timid. They're thinking of how they could turn back and pondering why they're being made to suffer. The author's intent is to help these converts hold fast, stand firm, draw near, provoke one another unto Christ-like love and sacrificial good works. By use of these many familiar examples, he attempts to center their faith on God's promise. The center of a Christian's universe, you see, is not their faith. It is not their faith. It is on God's promises. Wherever time and circumstance and personal belief and religion might sway and lead them thereafter, if it is anchored on the central promises, that faith will never sway or drift too far away. As we see in these fine examples, the promises of God are not hardly ever received in that same generation, the fulfillment of these promises, though parts and pieces of them can become evident. They are mostly forward-looking, as you would expect from a word and an approach that is constantly framing towards an eventual repair and restoration. The object at hand is not for God to fulfill it in order that we might now believe it. Exactly the opposite. The object is for us to get us to believe and to fully be persuaded into action by it first, being stretched and transformed by the experience, grow and mature in the confidence of it, become a good report unto our own future generations. Then, after we have done the will of God, God is willing and prepared to fulfill it. That is the truer nature of what's going on in relation to our faith here. To have any other understanding is to set ourselves up to fail the word of God. The movement toward the promise and its fulfillment has to become central. The movement that we now have that these elders did not have is the actual fulfillment of these promises that has literally transpired in the person of Jesus the Christ. We now have that kingly high priest Messiah that the elders had so patiently looked for, only seeing it from afar. It should be no problem for these converts now, having received Christ in their generation, or us in our generation, to hold fast, to stand firm, to draw near, provoke one another unto Christ-like love and sacrificial good works, because the Christ part of the promise has now been fulfilled. We can look back on it as a certainty, have the recognition and acknowledgement of that, and that it adds to us its mighty faith-changing substance and living evidences. Our faith is bigger, our faith is bolder because of it. Because of this substance, because of this living evidence. And yet, we still have the final unseen part of God's promise yet to be fulfilled. It continues to drive us. And for it, we are willing to sacrifice and give ourselves to the ordinary and the unpopular, the things for which we also might be persecuted and maligned for. So then the framing word of God continues in our age, as it did in the previous ages. In so doing, it has become of itself much more weighty and substantial, the final repair and restoration just that much closer. And in so doing, we also fully know that the rest of mankind will become just that much more combative. They will respond to this framing word just as the generations of godly did that preceded them. Perhaps even worse. That too is part of the process that God has decided best suits our needs. It is the way of truth. It is a path we need to take towards our eventual restoration.